Well, this morning, we're starting a new series, and we're going to jump right into the Word. It's going to be called Responding in His Presence. There is a place that we get that His presence is here, and we're going to respond. And let me just tell you this before we get started and everything. I will be on time. Yes. Pastor, do you believe? All I need is one person to believe me, Pastor. Do you believe me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's all I needed. I just needed Pastor. If Pastor believes in me, Jesse could doubt me. But if Pastor believes in me, I got this thing. And so this morning, we're going to be, we're starting a new series, like I said, Responding to His Presence. And this, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you this message I am about to teach this morning. If you have been attending our church from the beginning of this year, nothing new is coming out today. Every once in a while, nothing. Everything I've preached has been amazing. You need to hear it again. And so I am going to be preaching a message this morning on praise and worship, but basically Thanksgiving. We have Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. Everybody getting ready for that?
Yes.
I believe we're actually having turkey this year, and it'll be the first time in 3 or 4 years that we've had turkey. We normally eat seafood on Thanksgiving. And so this is going to be the first, a Thanksgiving meal, actually, that is a very common Thanksgiving meal. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But I wanted to teach on Thanksgiving. And when I started doing that, I started looking at the words Thanksgiving. And do you understand that praise and Thanksgiving can almost be interchangeable? Praise and Thanksgiving. And what a lot of the words for praise, we're going to go over some of the Hebrew words for praise. We've done this before. These words are going to be nothing new to you. And we're going to look at them. And in the definition of Thanksgiving or of praise is the word Thanksgiving. And so let's just look here. Luke, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 17. Very familiar scripture. And I've used this scripture on praise so many times and worship so many times. But we are going to be responding to the presence of the Lord. We responded this morning in praise and worship, and your praise and worship may not look like mine or my mother's. You may have noticed her. She ran this morning. I thought, I'm trying to think, have I ran in here yet? Has she beat me to the punch? I'm like, that's ridiculous. My mama should never beat me in praising. But when she did run, I thought, run, mother, run. Run, mama, run. And now, see, you would be like, what? We're going to get into it. I'm going to talk to you about praise and worship. I am not trying to create your praise to look like mine. I don't want your praise to look like mine. Well, maybe. You probably would have a lot more fun if it did. But your praise may look completely different. And can I tell you something? A lot of times we filter other people through our own emotions and the way that we deal with things. I remember I hung out, if I hang out with people for a decent amount of time and they're quiet the whole time, that makes me nervous. Quiet people make me nervous. I almost feel like I have to feel the quiet with a lot of talking. Right. Am I the only one? Anybody else resembles? Okay, a couple of you resemble that remark. Okay, I see your hands. And can I tell you something? It's not the loud people you have to be worried about. It is the quiet person. When you see interviews of something that's happened on the news, it's always the neighbor who said, they were quiet. They kept to themselves. They were the perfect neighbor. It's the quiet people you got to watch. Us loud people, you know what we're about to do. It's the quiet people, you have no idea what's going to happen. Have you found Luke chapter 17 yet? We're going to start in verse 11. And it says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There he met 10 men I always want to call them lepers. But they had leprosy. They were not the animal. You know what I'm saying? They had leprosy, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Now, I just want to point out that these people heard about Jesus. They heard about his healing power. Not only did they hear about it, they believed in his healing power so much that they intercepted Jesus on his way. And can I tell you this? Leprosy, if you had leprosy during this time, you could not be with people. They would actually stone you to death if you were around people because it was a death sentence to you. Not only was it a death sentence, it was depression because you had to be separated from your family. If you had a wife, you couldn't see her anymore. You could never kiss her again. You couldn't hug your children anymore. You couldn't go to work anymore. There was nothing you could do. You had to be separated from people. And if you came in contact with people, the only thing you were supposed to say was unclean, 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 so people knew to stay away from you so they didn't get the same disease that you had. And so they came to Jesus and they said, "Master, have mercy on us." Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I just want you to notice the phrase, "as they went, they were cleansed." Verse 15. And one of them, which he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. This man right here, he made the Presbyterians nervous. He made the Baptists nervous. He made the Catholics nervous. He shouted with a loud voice. He made a whole lot of religious people nervous. Now, he didn't make our church nervous, but he made the other churches a little nervous that morning because he shouted with a loud voice, glorified God, verse 16, and fell down on his face. He was kin to Pastor Chuki, and at the feet giving thanks. He was a Samaritan, and Jesus answered and said, do you know there's also something to say about the Samaritan there as well? And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returneth to give glory to God save this stranger. Can I tell you something? One thing that made him a stranger was the fact that he wasn't a Jew. He was outside of those who could receive Jesus, who could receive God at the time. This stranger turns around and gives glory. In verse 19, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. This man's faith made him whole. Can I tell you something? I believe all of them were healed on their way. I believe their faith, all of them, their faith healed them. They got out in a place. They believed. They came to the presence of God. They cried out to him. Jesus said, turn, go show yourself to the priest. And they were cleansed on their way. One of them turned around. This brings me to my first point. Worship is giving thanks. Can I tell you this? True love is always expressed. It is not possible to have love without it being expressed. I would even give you on this definition, love not expressed is not love. Now that may bother some of you introverts, your love, the way you show it, I'm not telling you you have to show it like I show it. My wife, I feel that I annoy her all the time because I tell her how much I love her, and that happens, and she's getting used to it a little more after 8 years. But she still has even told me, I believe within the last week or two, Tim, you've already told me that so many times today. And I just said, well, start looking uglier. Maybe it'll help. I mean, like, you know, just be in sweats and don't do your hair. Don't put on makeup. Just sit there. Try to make yourself look bad. Rub mascara all over your face. Maybe that will help me not say it, but I can't help it. I look at your face. It's the first thought that comes to my mind. And with people I love, there is no filter. So I say what I think to you because I don't have a filter. And love not expressed isn't love. Come to this side now. Now, it doesn't have to look like mine. And Jesse's love does not look like mine. Not at all. I had to reread when we got married. I had to reread the 5 love languages. Had to reread that. Why? Because she didn't love in the same language that I spoke in. So we might as well have been speaking Greek and Hebrew, not understanding each other to the full degree. And then, can I tell you something? I'm still going to look this way. Is she looking over here? Oh, I kind of I could feel it. I could feel it. But I tell you, I love that woman with everything in me. And I live to hear her laugh. Her laugh, and there's a laugh that she hits. That, you know, there's a courtesy laugh that she gives. And I'm not going to do that for you. But if you hang around her long enough, you'll hear that. And there's a laugh. I thought that was funny. I did. I thought that was genuinely funny. But, you know, not too funny. And then there's a laugh that she just, it's hilarious to her. And I live for that laugh. If I can hear that laugh, I will do stuff on purpose to try to get that laugh. Because it likes me up to make know that she thinks something's funny. And I don't even have to be the one to make a joke or make her laugh. If she reads something and she laughs like that, it just lights me up. And then, now she knows my love language. If you read the book, my love language, one of them is physical touch. And I know hers is not. Hers is not. Single tear. Hers... Hers is not. That's not her number one love language. And every once in a while, she has to purpose to go out of her way to express love to me because it's not her language. She is speaking a different language. But when she'll sometimes just walk over by me and just place her hand on my shoulder and then just slightly walk away. And I know what that means. I'm loving you. Don't respond right now with more physical touch. I'm just letting you know that I love you and I'm walking away. That's what she's telling me. Is, I love you, now don't touch me. She's walking away. But I get the message. I get the message, and I love that message. And then sometimes when we're walking, I just had this mentality of what marriage was going to be and dating was going to be. And I just thought we would walk and hold hands and be close together, arms around each other. I even thought when we slept, I'd be like snuggled up to her. But you know, that worked for like a short period of time. And then she's like, get off of me. You're like an oven. Your arm is so heavy. Get your arm off me. It's so heavy. And I would lean in and I'd whisper in her ears when she would tell me that. When you go to sleep, I'm going to do it again. And I would wait for her to fall asleep. And I would snuggle so softly. I didn't even get no sleep the first 3 years of marriage. Trying to just get so close without waking her up. Then slowly put that arm around and then keep letting the weight go down and down, making sure I wouldn't wait. And if she moved, I'd snatch it up and roll back. Jesse's trying to get me to move on. I'll just stay here for a little while. She can stop me when we're at home, but right here she can't stop me. Ushers, if she get out of line, take her out. Take her out. Security, we've talked about that this morning. Security, you just take her on out if she acts in a manner she shouldn't. All right. I'm kidding. I'll pay for that later. But in all of this, love is expressed, and she expresses love, and it's a different way. It's in a different mentality, and I express love, and I tell her, she's like, Tim, stop this, or something. I'm like, take my love. This is my love. This is who I am. I'm sorry that my love offends you. I do it more to be funny. I'm not trying to be mean or rude. You might think, how can you talk to her like that? Well, we have a good time. Life, me and her have a lot of fun. It may not be the way that you think or is fun, but I laugh hysterically after I say something like that. To me, that is hysterical. Sometimes she's laughing, sometimes she's not. Nah. You can't win it 100%. So we're looking at these words, love, or these words to give thanks or to worship. And there's seven of them. There's 11 in the Hebrew, but there's seven that are very commonly used all the time. But love is expressed. And I want to tell you something, as I've talked about expressing my love with my wife, one of hers is gifts. And she wants something that honestly, because I'm logical. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time I am logical. Live long and prosper. Logic, you know? I am logical. I think things out. I want to go from point A to point B, the shortest distance, the fastest time. You know, I think about these things. I try to plan things out. But one thing that Jesse wants every once in a while, that she wants to have flowers that she doesn't pick out.
Yep.
You're like, You don't want to pick them out. You know what you like better than I do, and you don't even want to pick them out. I'm not going to ask you to go to the Apple store and buy me a computer. I know what I want. I would be disappointed if you didn't get the right thing. That's my mentality. And then flowers, they die so quickly. They die. Why don't you just go outside and throw money in the air and leave it alone? Let it blow away. But that's what she wants. And can I say this too? I also love her mentality when it comes to electronics. Because when I was going over my budget for a new laptop a long time ago, and I said, well, this is what I really need. This is maxed out. You know, I don't know. And she goes, just go ahead and buy it maxed out. They go bad so quick, or they go obsolete so quick that you need it. I'm like, yes, you keep thinking that way. We need to max all this out. But, you know, there was a way that she desired for me to show my love toward her that was not me. And I had to learn to speak her language. And then I want to say this, the one thing that I do love about the Lord, he wants you to love him in your own language. And he's going to love you in his language, but he wants every language, whether it's like mine or whether it's like Jesse's or whether it's like yours, however you express love, God wants you to show him thanksgiving and love in your own language. I remember my grandmother Sadler was not Pentecostal. She was far from it. She was a Southern Baptist. Now, I hear my Southern Baptist in the background. Now, the Southern Baptist can get wild a little bit. I remember in her church, the lady was who played the piano was humpback, and she was 2 years younger than Jesus. And she had to be escorted to the choir. I mean, it would take 30 minutes for her to get up there, and ushers helping her to get up there. But she played the piano, and she did a wonderful job. And if the Spirit of God moved in the Sumatra Southern Baptist Church, this is what would happen. My grandmother, I remember this happening, standing beside her. And every once in a while, she would just go. She would take her handkerchief. And then after service, she would say, but the Spirit of God so strong. It was amazing. And I wanted to tell her, Grandma, if you visit our church, you'll die. If you thought it was so strong there, your heart would burst in our church. But, you know, that was just different. It was different. And that's the way that she expressed love. And she would come visit me when I would travel in ministry every once in a while. And she would tell me, she'd say, son, you know I love you. You know I love you. And I so enjoy your preaching. But when you do the altar call, I'm leaving. I'm like, okay. She says, because I know you bunch of people and I know what y'all are going to do. And it scares me. She was, you know, different. And one thing is, how about this? We can even disagree on so many things. Politics, how we express our love to God, whether it is or is not necessary, how we do it. We can, you know, politics, we may disagree, but we know that we're called here together as a church, whether we're right wing or left wing, we're the whole bird together. And I'm so thankful for a group of people who even understand that we may not agree 100% on everything, but we are family and God has called us together. And we're going to continue to worship the Lord as a family. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I said we were going to look at these seven words, and we're going to go through them very quickly. One, ta-da. You know my thought on this. I said this last time I talked about this. It reminds me of a magician. And he goes, ta-da. And that's how I kind of feel about the word here in the Hebrew. It's ta-da. It means to confess, to praise, thanksgiving. That is a Thanksgiving choir. So what we did here this morning with everyone singing, and then we stopped, and then just the congregation was singing, that praise is ta-da. That is a Thanksgiving choir. And we do this at my house. My kids will join in and we'll just sing and we'll dance before the Lord, which goes into another praise, another word for praise and worship and thanksgiving. But we will ta-da together. And sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's just ridiculous and silly. But that's kids. And honestly, it's a little bit of me as well. So we said, Tada, my next word should sound familiar to you, Barak. And it is where President Barack Hussein Obama was named after this, but his came out of the Arabic, and Arabic is pronounced just a tad bit different, but it means the same thing to a degree. It means blessing, or to bless, and I love this. In the Hebrew, it goes a little further, to kneel down and pray. So Pastor Chuki, he baraks a lot. Have you noticed him? He is so quick. He is so quick to bow before the presence of the Lord. Now, that may make you uncomfortable. You may not like that. But that's his love language. That's how he praises God. And every once in a while, I just think you should experience someone else's love language. Remind me to tell you a story about me experiencing someone else's love language. Remind me, and it goes back to worship. This is not me and Jesse, so don't be nervous. This is about praise and worship in a church. It's good. You just remind me if I forget. Now, the third word, you know this one. I love this one just because it's a great word, Tahila. Yeah, it means to praise, thanks in a song or a hymn, praising. So singing, tahilah. And then we have the fourth word, halah, means to be clear, to praise, to give thanksgiving, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to be clamorously foolish. My mother, she does this on a regular basis. Halah, she ran this morning. And you might think, that's foolish. You are correct. Ding, ding, ding. Tell them what they win. She is foolish. She's foolish for the Lord. She's been foolish for the Lord all my life. Her praise is foolish if you look at it from the outside. But there brings power because where love is, God is love. And when she expresses her love for the Lord, there is power right there. I remember one day coming home from school. My mother, I could hear her from outside. Oh, Lord. I could hear her praising the Lord. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, all my friends are getting off the bus at the same time. Mama's in there screaming and crying. And I knew it was Jesus. I knew nothing was wrong. Because when I was a kid, I used to be, Mama would praise God. I didn't want to invite none of my friends to church. You saw her run. I didn't want to have to explain to my friends what were going on. Especially to the Baptists. What am I going to tell them? They'll go back to their church and tell them we're full of devils. That's what they think. So my mom was in there and she has her dress in her hands and she's waving it back and forth and she's dancing in a circle around a piece of paper. And I look, what are you doing? She says, I'm praising, woo! And yeah, I can't do it. And she's screaming and shouting and crying all at the same time, laughing and crying and praising. It's just, you don't know what emotion's coming out of her. I mean, like, pick one, not all of these at the same time. And so I shut the door and she's praising God. I'm like, Mom, if you're going to praise the Lord, shut the door. And so it is foolish. Can I tell you something that's godly? It's biblical. Let's keep going. Yada. Now this, yada. It is a verb with the root meaning that means to extend hands. You didn't even know to raise your hands was biblical. Now most of y'all have already heard me say that word. But to raise your hands toward the Lord and praise Him is in the Bible. It's not an emotion thing. It's a Bible thing. It is to raise your hand, to extend them, to lift, to throw hands out. Therefore, to worship, to praise, to give extended hands, to lift your hands. That is the definition. And then we got, there's two entries for this next word. It is, can either be pronounced Zamar or Zamer. And so it means to sing praise, to give thanks, to make music, to play an instrument. And then my last word here is Shabbat, which means to praise, to give thanks, to address with a loud tone. And this is one of the things that the guy who was healed of leprosy did. He shouted out loud with a loud tone. He was praising the Lord. He was worshiping. He was giving thanksgiving in Shabbat. And now, all of this, now, all these words, there's one scripture that uses four of these seven words in one scripture. And that's Psalms 110 and verse 4. And I'm just going to read this to you. And he entered into the gates with thanksgiving, Todah, into his courts with praise, Tehillah, be thankful, Yada, unto him that blesses Barak, his name. Now I just will read it to you again with these definitions. Entering into his gates with a thanksgiving choir, into his courts with singing praise, and to be thankful by extending your hands toward him and bless him by bowing before his name. I'm going to tell you something. When you express your love toward God, when you give thanksgiving, it is worshiping the Lord. And love that is not expressed is not love. Thanksgiving that is not expressed is not thanksgiving. Now, let me be very clear. I'm not trying to get you to look like me. I'm not trying to get you to look like my mother. I'm not trying to get you to look like anyone else in this church. You may be like my grandmother, for heaven's sakes, that all you do is just, and then you know, woo, that was so good. That may be your expressed love, and that's fine. I'm not trying to get you to do anything else. But can I tell you something? This, I was going to get to this story, and it fits in right now, about feeling someone else's expressed love. I remember I was in the Pentecostal Holiness Church, Apalachicola, Florida, and I'm trying to think of Vicky's last name. No. Sorry, you don't know this person. She's a local to Apalachicola. Vicky, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember her last name. That's all right. But she was nuts. She was at, Vicky Moore? Vicky Moore. All I had to do was say she's nuts. Yep, Vicky Moore. Vicky, I hope you're listening by podcast. This is going to bless you. I remember she would run at the drop of a hat. She would run at the drop of a hat, and I just thought, this woman is nuts. I mean, it's one thing if everybody jumps in. It's another thing if you're just by yourself. And she would praise God all by herself, and I would just watch her. I'm like, Vicky is nuts. Vicky is nuts. Watch Vicky run. That's the third time. Vicky is nuts. Oh, four times. Vicky's crazy. And I just thought, Vicky, my goodness. Now, once you hear Vicky's testimony, Vicky was strung out on heroin and crack and everything else, didn't know the Lord, dying on her way to hell. And God comes in her life and sets her free. So now, anytime she has an opportunity to praise the Lord, she goes all out. She was a soul winner. She would lead people to Jesus, and she would praise God at the drop of a hat. Now, let me tell you my mistake with Vicky. Are you ready for this? And I was just trying to be a little funny with Vicky. I said, Vicky, when you run, come by and get me. And I just laughed. And I thought she knew it was a joke. And Vicky took off at the end of service. Not at the beginning. It was over. We already prayed. And in the prayer, the Holy Spirit hits her. She begins to praise the Lord. And she takes off running. Guess who she comes by? Me. And she grabs my hand. I do not recommend anyone doing this. But she grabbed my hand and held on with a grip I couldn't get out of. And she took off. And Vicky might be 115 pounds soaking wet. But she took off. And when she took off, there was a split second decision. Do I run or do I try to fight this woman? And then my thought was, what if I lose? What if she drags me? That's going to look real great. 115 pound woman beating me and dragging me behind her. So I thought, okay, I'll run. And I'll make this face like, it's Vicky. It's Vicky. And as I'm right, the Holy Spirit hits me, and I did something wrong. I will never recommend this. I closed my eyes. And when I did, the Spirit of God hit me, and I've never ran in church in my life. I didn't do that. That was not me. And I took off running, and I can't even explain the feeling. I can't explain what happened, but the Spirit of God hit me, and there was power when I stepped out and began to praise the Lord in a different manner. And I had my eyes closed, and I'm running full blast. Do you see what's right there? That's called a wall. And if you challenge that wall, you will most likely lose. And I went full body impact right into the wall. and down on the ground I got. The wall won, but I'm going to tell you, that feeling, that power hit me like never ever before. And I am so thankful. So you know what? Even during praise and worship, you may see Pastor Chuki bowing down or Linda coming to the front and praising God. Or so. You might just say, you know what? I just want to try to express my love in a different way. Today, I'm just going to purposely bow down and raise my hands. And I'm going to Tahila. I'm going to, Tada. I'm going to do all these. I'm going to try loving God and expressing my love for Him in a different manner and in a different language. And we want to be well-versed in culture, and so we can speak all different kinds of languages. I would just recommend trying one of them every once in a while. And you might say, I've heard this. Well, I don't want it to be me. Well, it's going to be you to the day you die. Yeah, but I don't want it to be flesh. Flesh is with you. Until the end, flesh is with you. And I'll just put this out there for your thought process. Sometimes I think it needs to be us. Yeah. Now, we've talked this morning with a testimony about changing our mentality from us to others. And so one of the things is we're not getting up here with the mentality, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look, I am so smooth right now. You're like, stop it. You know where I was going with that. And there are people who praise God with flags. I'm not against flags. Just don't hit me with them. Don't bring your own. And don't run over the crowds with your flag over top of them. I've seen it. I've seen that happen. If you're going to praise God with flags, I mean, I'm not against that. And there's whole churches that do that. And then there's whole churches that will have a dance team to the side that does their dance. Very impressive. Thank you. I've actually seen a lot of them. That's how they do it. I have watched and practiced. And so there is that, and there's time for that, and there it's wonderful, and it's a different language, and I'm not against any of that. But yes, we don't go up and, look at me. That's not what we're about. We're about worshiping God in our own language, expressing it. And then again, it's fine to try and look at somebody else, because I would just tell you this. Some things are taught, but some things are caught. And what I mean by that is you see somebody for the first time raising their hands, and you're like, what's that all about? If you were not raised in church, that's not normal. But like, what are all these people doing raising their hand? Are we being robbed right now? I knew this was happening. I knew they did this here. I remember, this is beautiful. Are you ready for this? So they were having a night to honor Israel at a church. And so we have this Jewish speaker who has not been around Christians, especially not Pentecostal Christians. And all of a sudden, the whole group, there was one person that ran, and he was shocked. And he kind of backed, he's like, what is going on here? And then another man ran, and I was up close to him, and I saw him lean over, and I was right behind him. And I heard him speaking to the other pastor. He goes, what is going on here? And when he saw that other guy running, he says, did that guy just rob and take his wallet and he's trying to get it back? And like, that was the first thought that hit his mind was, why is someone running? Oh, someone's chasing him. He must have stole something from him. So that may not be normal for you. It might not be normal. You have no idea what's running through their heads. But in the Bible, it is very biblical to throw your hands up and praise the Lord. Even the world has this. Now, they don't praise the Lord, but they, everybody, hands in the air. Wave them like it just don't care. And, that's the world. They do. And then let's bring it to Wisconsin. You have your own little deals that y'all do. You go to a hockey game. Roll out the barrels to a Floridian. That's nuts. Why do you even have barrels? And then everybody's going back and forth. Be like, we're from Wisconsin. We're conservative. We don't really express a whole lot of emotions. Are you kidding me? Every time Green Bay makes a touchdown, they run and jump up and people hug them and, just slap them on the rear as they're up there. Don't show emotions, my rear end. You just don't show them in church. You show emotions. Y'all are very emotional people. From your hockey games to your football games, you are emotional people. You catch a large fish, you're emotional. You'll even kiss that thing on its mouth. You are emotional. You express love. You express joy. All I am saying is that it is biblical to take those expressions. God gave you those emotions. God gave you that. And He wants you to use who you are. Your very DNA, your very makeup, the very being of who you are, the very fiber of you. He wants you to love Him and express that love. Have you ever desired to be loved? God desires it more than you've ever experienced it. That emotion that you have had to experience love from your spouse or from your family, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your dog, whatever it is that you crave love from, God craves more of that from you. Now, I am ending in Jesus' holy name. These people, these 10, my question to you would be, when he turned around and he praised the Lord and he worshiped the Lord, he cried out with a loud voice. He bent down, prostrated himself at the feet of Jesus and cried out with a loud voice. Was that appropriate? Yes. Absolutely. Question. Let's say it was 30 years later and Jesus was walking down. Let's just say, Jesus was walking down the road 30 years later. The man saw him again, and he did it again. Would it be appropriate? Yes. Absolutely. Because he is grateful. He has gratitude for what was done. God loved us first. He has done miracle after miracle. He sent his son Jesus to die for us. And every time, he even tells us to think about it. Every time we eat or drink, take communion. When it crosses our mind, take communion. Commune with God. Express your love at the dinner table. Express your love at church. Even more when we all get together. Even more when we get together. There is an atmosphere of praise. And there is a freedom to express your love like never before. Do so. I'm going to encourage you to be absolutely ridiculous. Be ridiculous. And if you want to do it in the privacy of your own home, start there. Yeah. Start there. My praise at home is just nothing. And it's ridiculous. It's insanity. I don't want you to see it. I won't allow my kids or my wife to record it. Because I'm afraid they will post it. It is ridiculous. But can I tell you something? It's very biblical. It's biblical to be ridiculous. Clamorously foolish. It is biblical. And when I interact with Jesse sometimes and just, play it around with her, sometimes I am ridiculously foolish. And she laughs and thinks I'm nuts. And I almost think the Lord, sometimes he sees when I'm praising him, I think I give him a chuckle. That's right. I think the Lord laughs and be like, Jesus, look at Tim. He's just nuts. He's in love with me. And he doesn't care who knows it. One time I was talking to my kids, and I'm done. I'm sharing this last story. I'm done. I told my kids, we were talking about how we love God, and we were outside. And there was a neighbor walking by. And I said, Ellie, shout hallelujah. Jesse's not out there because she'll tell me not to be a weirdo in front of our neighbors. And I said, Ellie, shout hallelujah. And she goes, Daddy, but there's somebody there. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. Shout hallelujah. And she's like, Daddy, someone's over there. I don't want them to see me. And I said, Lucy, shout hallelujah. And she goes, hallelujah. And then I just shout, hallelujah! And they have a play area. And I'm standing, and the neighbor is like walking his dog. He looks, and then he quickly looks back. It's like, don't notice them. Don't look at them. He might come over and say, hey, look at the dogs. Look at the dogs. Don't you dare poop right now. Don't you dare. We have to keep moving. And so I lean off of the play area, and I'm holding on. And I just shout out loud, I love Jesus, and I don't care who knows it. And Ellie just begins to laugh. She thinks it's hilarious. Lucy's going nuts and shouting praise. And then I hear Eliana, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're all screaming and praising God together. The neighbors are here, honey. I knew they were Pentecostal. Let's never talk to them again. But love must be expressed. And it may be a Thanksgiving choir. It might be a song of Thanksgiving. You might be absolutely foolish before the Lord, and I would recommend you try that once or twice. But whatever it is, be faithful to express your love. Amen. How much does your family need it? And how much do you desire to have it? Let's make sure that we are faithful to give it. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to praise you. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you. And with everybody here, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to ask the Lord a question. God, what are you speaking to me through this message? What are you trying to tell me? Right where you are, begin to ask that question. I believe the Lord is speaking to us as individuals right now. Yes. Some of you have heard very clearly. Some of you have heard and said, was that me or was that the Lord? I'm telling you, you have just heard from the kingdom of God. The Lord spoke to you in a still small voice. Don't miss it.